I am so privileged and honored to be here tonight and be able to share the word with you. I appreciate Brother Keith and Pastor Frank for allowing me to come. And it is always good to come here and worship with you, to be able to share the word with you and to proclaim that our Lord is amazing. Isn't it true? I would love to come up in front of you today and share from Second Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be from verses 1 to 8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. It happened that we were going to Volcano not long ago. And if we can go to the first one, I will appreciate it. There's a picture there. And we were going to a volcano. That's a lava volcano, small one. You can climb that in an hour and 45 minutes. But it happened that my friends from West Palm Beach came, and they asked me, "Tico, can we go to a volcano?" And I said, "Sure, let's go to the volcano." And we have several. I said, "I'm not going to get one of the big ones." There was a 14-year-old boy that I realized that probably wasn't in the best shape to climb on the volcano. So I said, "Sure, let's go. Let's go to Pacaya. We have agua, water, fuego, fire, Acatenango, fire, Acatenango," which that doesn't mean have a translation, that's the name. And this one is Pacaya. Pacaya is a small one because you start climbing up. And it happened that this guy that is there in that picture, we went with a guide, a lady, her name was Marina. But then this guy, his name was Antonio, he was with his horse. You can see that he has a rope. He's sitting on a horse. But unless I, you know, make the picture fit that way, you will see the horse. So he's on a horse. He's behind us, you know. Suddenly, I said, "What's going on?" He says, "I'm going with you because I realized that maybe one of you might need a horse going halfway. It's not as expensive. It's only $40 going up and down," is what he says. "So if somebody needs it, that's fine. And if not, that's completely fine too." And I said, "Sure. Okay, come on. Nobody will need it except for a 14-year-old. Probably." That's what I thought. So we're walking, and halfway, you know, I see the 14-year-old boy, Matthew's his name. He's a mix of U.S. citizen, but it's Guatemalan background. Anyway, Matthew's going and starting. You hear like he's going out of breath. So I said, and he said to Matthew, "Young boy, do you think that you might need a horse right now? We were halfway. Or you can use it maybe later, but still you're going to pay the same." He says, "Oh, Daddy, I need it right now." So he climbed on the horse. You know, it was faster. We got to the point, to the upper part. And suddenly I saw Antonio. I don't know what happened with me. I might ate clown or something like that, because I was making jokes all over the way to the top, playing around, you know, fussing people. And Marina, which was our guide, and Antonio, they were walking, and I got to the upper part. And suddenly I look at him, and I said to him, "You know what? For some reason, God is telling me that he loves you so much." And then this guy, his eyes got watery. And then I really sense from the Holy Spirit that God was wanting, the Holy Spirit was wanting me to tell him, "You know, God is telling me right now that you're the most important thing. Not that I was getting a revelation, you know, not that way, but I was feeling that in my heart. And I know that the word talks about that, how important people is. And the guy started crying. And then somebody said that I was a pastor, and he couldn't believe it. Maybe because I was making so much jokes and stuff like that, or Marina either. But I said, you know what? I believe that you need Jesus Christ in your life. He says, yes, I do. I saw, if you see there's scars. I don't know if you can see the scars very well, but if you see in here, I find out, I realize that throat was cut before. There was something else that got my attention. You cannot see it in this picture, but there was 3 ink eardrops here. That's what gang members put in their bodies when they kill somebody. And here I am in this dilemma, telling him how God loves him, which is true. But at the same time, looking at him, I in my mind recognize that he has been a gang member. And he started crying, and Marina too. And both of them, our guide, and the horse guy, I don't know how to call him. Marina get things straight with the Lord again. And he accept Jesus Christ at the top of that volcano. Antonio. After he accept Jesus Christ in his heart, he started telling his story. 10 years in prison. They attempted to kill him in prison. They cut his throat. Yes, I wasn't wrong. The eardrops were people that he has killed. And the reason because he's living in that area is because he get away from the other gang members because he's afraid that he's going to get killed. Now he has Jesus in his heart. Best story. I couldn't suggest a church there. Reason simple. Many of the churches in our country will not deal with somebody that has been involved in gangs. And man, ministry is everywhere. But I would like to tell you that let's work for our Lord. And work, ministry is everywhere. I have told this before. For me, ministry is in airports, mountain bike kids, you know, ministries when I do motorcycle. Ministry is everywhere. Ministry is on top of a volcano. The only thing that probably you need for one thing is to love the Lord, and the other one is to be receptive, you know, like seeing how people look. The eyes are the windows for their soul, so you can see what's going on. And Paul is talking about that in that chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And I believe that we need to do that first, preaching the word. It says there, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in his view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Man. You can say, guys, you can say, man, this is not for us. We're not pastors. I mean, Keith is the pastor. Brother Frank is the pastor here. We have some other people working in church. But I'm not. Paul is talking here to his son Timothy. Timothy is going through some really rough times, 2 Timothy. It happened that, for one thing, you know, Paul is in prison. He knows that he is at the end of his life. This is the last chapter that he is writing. After that, you know, after those 22 verses in chapter 4, he disappeared from the biblical account. Timothy is dealing with a little bit of anxiety. Not feeling fit for the ministry. Young in a way, you know, and dealing with
We're trying to understand all the things because there's false doctrine. Like today. A lot of people thinking different kind of things, you know. And he's trying to come up with those things. And in the midst of all those things, Paul is telling him, preach the word. Have my friends from the U.S. He used to say that phrase. And this tone of voice, preach the word. I'm telling you again, preach the word. And for the third time, I'm going to tell you, preach the word. That's my friend. So Paul is telling us, preach the word. But in order for us to preach the word, we need to know the word. If not, what's the content that we're going to give? I mean, we can present, and it is fine, you know, our doctrine. And yes, sure. But I believe that we need to have a study of the word on a daily basis. You can read one verse, or you can read one chapter, or you can read four chapters, and you will have the Bible in a year if you read four chapters. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, if it's the right time or it's not the right time. Rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instructions, what it says there. And when I think about the first thing that I said today is, let's work for our Lord. And I'm telling you, preach the word. There is, if we go to the next one, there is something. The gospel is simple. A little kid can grasp what the gospel teaches, and is that Jesus Christ came as a baby, baby Jesus. Then he lived here 33 years among us. He put his tent here among us. He was like one of us. And then we find out that after 33 years, he was crucified and he died that terrible death. And then when that happened, he was in a spit in the face, hit him. You know, people even take her clothes and doing different things. And then he died. He went, 1 Peter 3, he went down and proclaimed his victory over death. And he is alive now. That's the gospel. Simple. So simple. My grandbabies understand the gospel. Sometimes it's harder for the people in our church, because they have grown up understanding that if they want a dryer, they need to work for the dryer. So they want to put Jesus Christ in whatever they do. And it is Jesus Christ alone. That's what it is. It's an amazing gospel. We don't need you, what you can do in order to be saved. Yes, as a result that you have been saved. Yes. But the gospel is that simple. So for one thing, I want to tell you, first, preach the word. And I want to tell you, you know, preach the simple gospel. But I want to connect with you, understanding the present times. And it's very interesting when we understand the present time. I see Paul talking in the four chapters. Chapter 3. Chapter 2, he will talk about people that love themselves. They get pastors that they get into the homes of ladies that are full of sin, you know. And they're trying to take advantage of them. And I really don't understand how that happened. But I have found out that there are plenty of places in which things like that happen. Pastors are well respected for one thing, but on the other hand, they are taking advantage of people. Monetarily sometimes. The ladies of the church. They come with this thing, you know, that the Lord told me that you, in order to be sanctified, need to sleep with me. And plenty of ladies. And no, I'm not saying that that's happening in any of our churches, but plenty of ladies in some churches, you know, ended being things that will not glorify the Lord. So what is going on? People, you know, like Adonis, that they love so much them, the way they look, the wealth that they have.
He says, we need to understand the times. People will not listen to sound doctrine. That's what it says there. They will gather, you know, people will gather around their own bad desires. Concupiscencia. That's the word in Spanish. Concupiscencias are bad desires. And if we go to the picture, we find all kind of different images in our faces, you know, for people that really love the Lord, that people that really wants to do ministry, that people that is trying to do the right thing. But there will be a mom. Wolves, you know, looking like sheep. And the Bible says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desire, their own bad desires, concupiscencia, epidemias, that's the Greek word. Their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ear want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Man, Paul was living those times. It was difficult times. Troubled times. There were times in which they mocked Christians. They killed Christians in Rome. Put them to fight against each other, to kill each other, trying to survive. Beasts, bears, lions, tigers that will devour them, eat them. One of the most, I don't know how to say that, but one of the worst things that they did to Christian was to get him amongst Roman soldiers, four of them, you know. They climb on top of something like a ladder, and then they grab a person. They were pieces of wood, like a pencil, big ones, and they get the person from each one of their arms and legs, then putting up and turning on fire. Lanterns. How easy in some way is the gospel that we live now? People risking their life to go to church. Now we pastors need to convince people to please come to church. There's so many activities. So many activities. We are so with our grandchildren and it has almost believe a cult, you know, to do those things that are like, oh, and it is great. I'm not telling you that's bad. But something in this picture has changed. And I see a man that is suffering in jail, about to be killed. This man that will put his head, his torso, his body against a piece, a big piece of stone, and it will come by, somebody will come with an axe. And will take the head away from the body. Come on. Is he the one encouraging his son, Timothy? Because if that happened, he knows that Timothy needs to continue with the preaching of the gospel. Preach the word. Preach the word. We need to understand times. They were living those times since that time. And we have seen how that has increased.
I will not get into that much, but it was sad in a way to see what happened a few weeks ago here in Iowa, I believe, with this gentleman that has been all over the world, all over the news. And we were impressed about how God was using Charlie Kirk. But we're more impressed in a way how his martyrdom has been used for people speaking in a blunt way about the Lord. And maybe this discussion is polarized here. I don't know. But to see the president of some of the people, most important people in this country, talking about Jesus Christ so in your face, I love it. I love it. I don't know if we're going to offend somebody. I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care. Get offended. The next picture, it is in Spanish. Don't worry. Hakuna Matata, okay? It says, porque estos son falsos apóstoles. False apostles, fraudulent workers, laborers. They disguise like apostles of Christ. Y no es maravilla porque el mismo Satanás se disfraza como ángel de luz. I'm sorry, guys. I need to put that in Spanish. I really do want for you to get used to the language that we all will speak in heaven. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Let's go to the next one. It says, for such people are false apostles. That's what we were looking for. False apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Man, no wonder. What we're looking is a way in which people go after his master, Satan. 2 Corinthians has an amazing picture about that. And I love this. Next verse, it says, but you keep your head in all situations. Be sober. You know, balance, way of thinking. Endure hardship. Do the work of evangelists. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's not for us pastors. It's for the church. It's for everybody. We're a part of this. And really, I believe that that's at the heart. Verse 5 is at the heart. But you keep your head in all situations. And their hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I see one person, and this is Jonas. In the Bible, God told him to go to Nineveh. I love him. He's completely disobedient and says, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarsus. Got his ticket, you know, get online and got his ticket. Went to the ships of Tarsus and got his ticket online, went to Tarsus, they're going up there, and then something happened. Everybody, you know, it's coming, the waves and blowing, whistling the winds, and then people is crying out to their own gods, and then they realize that there's Jonah in the boat, and they throw in the water, and this guy fall in the water 3 days in the stomach of a big fish. It doesn't say that it was a whale. Three days there, and then it was expelled. I'm so happy that it was expelled that way, but there was only 2 ways to get out, and I think that was the best. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Tico, come on. Lisa, I hope you're not looking at... please. Anyway. But once...
What? You know what? But this mind is like, oh, thinking way too much, extra hours. So what I would like to say is that once he started, you know, doing what the Lord asked him to do, he is wanting for God not to forgive them. So he's going to sit on a mountain to see how this, you know, is coming out of him. Hasta la vista, baby. But that doesn't happen. God's mercy. And the king, he's signing paperwork, you know. He was like President Trump signing all kind of things, you know. He said, you guys need to believe in the God of Jonah. And 120,000 people with babies and animals. I don't know if you have realized, but one of the guys that have, you know, been more successful doing ministry is this disobedient guy. Sometimes I feel that we get along really well. Two disobedients. Maybe three. I don't know. But there are two things that in doing the work of the Lord, working for the Lord, the Bible has told us. Preach the word. We need to understand the times. And I will tell you the last one. The last one, it is after something that happened to me. Next one, please. Last night, I flew. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I bought a ticket for my nephew, Christian, that is coming tomorrow to the U.S. I have to buy a ticket from the 2nd, October 2nd until the 15th. I bought ticket for him without the possibility of change the ticket from the 2 of the 6th, from the 2nd to the 6th. I have to make it work. And then I was supposed to be coming to yesterday to Atlanta at noon, leaving 9:52 from Miami when I was preaching, and then come at by 10. And then I realized that it was when it was time to check in. That I got a ticket from 10 p.m. So I came last night at 12. Get to the house by 1. But I got me an Uber. And this guy is the same one that picked us up with Lisa 2 months ago. His name was like weird from Middle East or something like that. So Lisa and I, we were talking about different subjects when we were in Spanish. You know, we communicate in Spanish. And we talk about, cover several subjects. The thing is that we got to the house where we were going to be spending those couple of days. And I get out. All of our connection with the gentleman was in English. But then when I get out from the Uber, he is out trying to help me to get my luggage. And then he speaks to me in Spanish. And Lisa and I, we both look at each other like, good thing we didn't talk any, we didn't say anything about him. Here's the guy in the volcano. Antonio couldn't believe that I was a pastor. This guy asked us something. You are pastors. And my friend Brent is right there and he said, yes, we are. I don't know how to explain that. I love my country. I work at the barber shop, but it's too slow in the morning, so I do Uber sometimes in the morning and then go to be a barbershop during the afternoon. And I was listening to you, and I felt something that I have not felt in 8 years. I felt something that I felt in Ecuador. He was not from Ecuador. He was from Venezuela, but he was in Ecuador 8 years ago. What was that? It was the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that I cannot explain. And that happened to me today when you get into my car. And again, start crying, man. I don't know. Maybe I have a sad face or something like that. People cry around. And then I said, yes. And I said, my friend Brent, that is already with me, and Lisa, can we pray for you? He says, yes, but call me Jesus, Jesus. That's my other name. He said, sure. And we start praying for him. He tells a story. That happened 2 months ago. He was supposed to pick me up yesterday at lunchtime. I didn't make it, so I messaged him, tell him I'm not going to be there. I can ask somebody else to pick me up. And I said, no, Pastor, I will be waiting for you. And we have this amazing conversation last night. We're friends. What's up? We've been communicating. He's growing his walk with the Lord. He's going to church right now in Atlanta area. He lives like Don Woody, I believe that's the name of the place. And it's very interesting to see, because I'm talking about a gentleman on Volcano in an Uber, the city of Atlanta. But my thing here is, we need to understand time. I talked before about understanding the present times, but now I'm telling you we need to understand time. And I'm going to be closing pretty soon. Paul understood time really well. And I will not use the next picture. I will go to the Bible right there. It says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. Paul understands that. And he uses two pictures here. I am about to be poured like a something, you know, there was something that you put on a altar, burning altar. And he says, my life is like that. It's about to be poured. But then he used another word. The time of my departure is near. Those two pictures are amazing. I will explain the second one. Let's go to the next picture, please. This is the biggest cruise ship in the world. I don't know how much people can you fit in, but it's the Icon of the Seas. Royal Caribbean is what I can see. It looks like a floating city. And I love, and probably you love too, to see how ships work. Cruise ships, amazing. When they are arriving to the port, whoop, whoop, whoop. One is coming, another one is going. The captain will get that big horn. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And everybody waves, you know, being in the side. But then the other captain will respond. Whoop, whoop, whoop. One is coming, the other one is leaving. In order for the one to leave, they need to do something. They need to get those huge ropes and disengage those, or, you know, loosen them in order for those, you know, to let the ship move closer a little bit, so takes the pressure out. And then when they lose that thing, the ship start going. There is a word there in Greek. The word is luo. Luo means to loose that rope, tight or untied. That's the word luo.
So what he is saying is, I am like a big icon of the seas that is just ready to untie that rope, and I'm up like a sheep. About to go. And then he uses three amazing pictures. The first picture, if we go back to the Bible, please, the previous one. It says, I have fought. We all know that one, right? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Man, I have finished the race. And then I have kept the faith. What an amazing way to summarize a life. Those three sentences. Have fought, have raced, have kept. And it says there, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is the one that's given the crown of righteousness, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We're there. We are there. Amen. And I would like to finish with the picture after the sheep. The dog. This dog is famous in Argentina, maybe around the globe. It's an Argentinian doggo. Was created, that was developed to hunt big animal species. And there were two girls in 2008. They were playing outside of their father's farm. And when they were playing, they decided that they were going to pick some strawberries. They're picking the strawberries. And suddenly when they're doing that, there was a puma wandering around. The puma star, you know, coming after the girls. Morocho, that's the name. Morocho saw the puma. And when he saw the puma, he started, you know, coming, you know, between the girls, the puma, Morocho. And Morocho started running against the puma. And after a long fight and a lot of scars and wounds, he was able to kill the puma. Fought for his master, spared the lives of those two girls. And I really do believe that probably that resembles very well how some of us that have been in the ministry or that have been trusting the Lord will maybe look at the end of our career. We will say, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race, have kept my face, kept my faith, and maybe I have earned all the scars serving my Lord. Beautiful picture, isn't it true? Padre, muchas gracias. Gracias por esta preciosa iglesia, Señor. Gracias, Dios, por sus pastores. Gracias, Dios, por la oportunidad de hablar con mis hermanos. Oro que tú los bendigas a todos. Te agradezco porque hayan estado los jóvenes aquí, Señor. Y pido, Dios, que tú bendigas todo lo que aquí se hace. Yo bendigo esta iglesia porque nos han tomado como misioneros por muchos años, Señor. Y han provisto para nuestra casa, han provisto para nuestra mesa. Hoy los pongo en tus manos. En el precioso nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.